No disrespect to strippers, but by virtue of their occupation and the equipment they have in their firehouse and the time they have on their hands, shouldn't firemen be better at pole dancing?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
I mean, they got the pole right there. Why not practice?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Kind of just makes sense to me.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, The pleasure is actually all yours. Good. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam by virtue of the fact that I just told you I was. There's no reason that you should disbelieve me. It's my name. What the hell? What the hell's in a name anyway? Okay. I think I told you this story before, but I was an usher in a movie theater in New York City, the Beekman Theater, and I befriended this other usher who worked with me a lot. We would have the same shift. When I shifted to one side, he shifted the same way, and his name was Jesus, and of course, he was of Spanish Puerto Rican descent. A nice, nice kid. Nice, nice, nice kid. I couldn't hardly understand a word he said, but it was a nice kid. He had a very thick accent, and like I didn't. Well, I didn't. I don't think I do, but he probably doesn't think he did either from where he came from. But I couldn't understand a fucking word he was saying half the time, but a nice, nice kid. And we would have coffee breaks together, and he would talk, and I would just shake my head because I had no idea what the hell he was saying. But a nice, nice, nice kid. And his name was Jesus. And I said to him, well, Jesus, how do you spell that? And he said, J-S-U-S. I still can't understand you. Could you write it down for me? And he did, and he spelled Jesus. And I said, oh, I've always wanted to meet you. Heard a lot about you. Now, obviously, he wasn't the Jesus that I had read about in that book that they wrote, but that he was named after Jesus, apparently. And I thought, wow, a lot of people are just named after their grandfather or a very popular person, like Bob, you know, like who ran the hardware store, or We bought a lot of hardware, a lot of hammers from Bob, and for our first kid, well, it was no decision, man. We called him Bob. it wasn't that at all. They named him after this great religious figure, and I thought, wow, that's it's like impressive. Did Jesus show up at your christening there, or whatever you call that thing, your baptismal, your first swimming lesson? I don't know, okay? I'm not being disrespectful. I just don't know how that works. I know they dunk your head underwater, and now you're official. You can now become both a religious person and a lifeguard. I don't know what the water has. I guess it's cleansing. Okay, I'm going to get off that topic. But anyway, because I don't know all about it. You do, I don't. But anyway, his name was Jesus. And ever since I learned that his name was Jesus, I guess I related to him in a different way. Because I thought in the back of my mind, way in the back of my mind, there's a lot of room in the back of my mind. There's tons of room back there. You could have like an apartment back there. A lot of room to think. But in the back, way back in my mind, behind the furniture, I'm thinking, could this actually be Jesus? Well, let's see what he's got in common with Jesus. He's got the same name. All right, that's maybe about it. I don't know if Jesus worked in a movie theater when he was young or not. I think it was a carpenter. Maybe he built a movie theater. Isn't it odd that you never read anything about Jesus being an excellent carpenter? As I understand it, again from that book, he was a carpenter by trade. You would think he'd be great at it. You would think that if he was the Son of God, or even close to that, his furniture would be amazing. He would probably build cabinets that would be like godlike. I'm surprised that there's no mention of how good his carpentry probably was. Or you see that house over there? That's a beautiful house. Who built that house? Jesus. He's good at that. He's good at everything. You know, he can turn water into wine. Well, that's nice. I'm more impressed with his carpentry work, though. All right, fine. I'm sorry. Am I insulting somebody? I apologize. That was not my intent.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Can you read the signs? I don't know. I'm still sitting here waiting for America to be great again. I don't see it. I kind of see it like maybe even a little bit worse, or maybe like a lot worse. So I guess. Oh well. That didn't work. Oh well. What are you gonna do? You make some mistakes. You live with them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to make America great again. I am the great deal maker. Healthcare bill, it didn't work out. I don't know. I just let it fail. I don't give a crap anymore. I can fix anything. Did you hear that Donald tweet? What's his name? Donald Trump. When his healthcare bill didn't pass at all, he sits behind the Oval Office desk and he says to reporters and to the nation, he says, well, you know, I didn't like that healthcare bill anyway. The one I tried to push in and threaten everybody, if you don't vote for it, you'll never be reelected. That thing, you know, where I told all the House and the Senate, you better vote for this, otherwise I'll kill you. That threat, you know, you know what? I'm glad it didn't go through. I wasn't too happy with it. I swear that's what he said. I swear, in his words, that's what he said. Yeah, the bill I was trying to push through there really, really quickly, like the Democrats did 8 years ago, what we swore we never do, yet I just did. I just tried to push something through really quickly. I'm kind of glad it didn't pass because I wasn't thrilled with certain parts of it, to be honest with you. Oh, my God. you're spinning my head like a giant roulette wheel, and it ain't stopping on any of my numbers. Oh my God. Oh well, that didn't work. That didn't work. You know who I blame for all of this? The independents. I mean, yeah, I blame a lot of people that voted for this this center ring clown, and they said that Ringling Brothers was going out of business. I think the circus is in town again. I blame some of the voters who voted for this this menagerie of crap, but at the same time, I blame the independents because this was a perfect election. To shun the Democrats, shun the Republicans who did nothing. It's so stupid. The whole thing's so stupid. For 8 years, the Democrats were crying about the Republicans are blocking everything. The Republicans are blocking everything. They're a do nothing Republican people. And then the Republicans get in. Take control, and they do the whining now. They're the Democrats. They won't do anything. They won't go along with anything. They're blocking everything. That's what you did, you sons of bitches. You're just crying about each other. This whole government is just like people crying back and forth. And I don't want to absolve the government. I want to make it like work really nicely. But apparently nobody's working with anybody. We're used to that for 8 years. Man alive, what the hell's wrong with you people? That's where the independents failed me. Bernie Sanders should have just run as an independent, not a Democrat. Should have run as an independent, and things may be different. I don't know. It's a perfect opportunity for something in the middle to all of a sudden rise from the ashes. And there are ashes. There's the ashtray is full of ashes, but nobody seems to want to empty it. Here's the problem with it, with everything. Everybody wants to do away with bad things. I want to do away with Obamacare. I want to do away with the government. I want to do away with the taxes. I want to do away with everything. But they never, ever come up with a solid thing to replace it. Either they scramble quickly to put something together just to get rid of what's there, but they don't replace it with something better. And that's a sign of, oh, how can I put it? Political stupidity. Just stupidity. And Republicans are stupid and Democrats are stupid. And the only people that aren't really stupid are the ones in the middle who can see both sides and kind of see certain things this way and certain things that way. Not blindly, because there's a list of things you're supposed to like and there's a list of things you're not supposed to like if you're affiliated with a certain party. All this party affiliation is just, that's the power part of it. The political party affiliation is the power part of it. You can't do anything without power behind you. And that's not what this country was supposed to be about. This country was supposed to be about just normal people making sense all of a sudden. Not billionaires who fly down to Florida to their mansions on the weekends in order to sit and tweet in the bathroom at 4 o'clock in the morning, who call people idiots and liars and that's not presidential. Presidential is some smart person who's got a little bit of class up his ass. Those are the kind of people that work out. Even if they make mistakes, you don't agree with them, at least you can say, that person's got some class. That person is respectable. That person's holding things together instead of trying to blast them apart. Okay, kids, we'll be right back after these short message word things.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Smile. smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, you love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router and consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Hey, we do this every single weekday, a brand new show. I know, I get it. I hope you can join us on a regular basis and tell your friends about it as well. You should be talking to your friends and telling them to listen to this show. Of course, you can go to newenglandbroadcasting.com or you can go to Podbean, the Podbean Network. We're on that. All our episodes are on that, over 600 of them. Yeah, that's binging, baby. That's a binge. Or you can go to iTunes. We're there. TuneIn Radio. Got our own channel on that one. And we're heard on various syndicated radio stations throughout the country when they like me. When they don't like me so much, not as much as if they like me. So we're all over the damn place, and thank you so much for your support. We do take donations and contributions up to $17 million. No more than that, please, because that's just being greedy. You know, a lot of people say to me, Ron, you know, there are a lot of conservative radio stations, a lot of Republican, pro-Republican radio talk shows, Ron, and they're on a lot of, like, ones that aren't. And I say to them, you bet there aren't. But here, you'll find us a little bit different. We like to poke fun at things and be sarcastic and be, like, truly annoying. And we also love the environment. We love our planet. We love people. Well, not so much me, but we love people. We love listening to points of view. We like democracy. And we like the democratic way of thinking, even though sometimes it's represented by the wrong people. So sit back, enjoy us, as we tend to trash the President of the United States, Donald Trump, because he trashes me. And I trash him. That's the relationship he set up. So, I don't know. Is it disrespectful to call the president a douchebag? Yeah? I didn't know that. I love just the bass playing by itself, but no more than 10 or 15 seconds of it. After that, it gets a little annoying. I don't know why, but it is annoying. Yeah. You got kids in the room, you might want to have them leave the room because we're We're going to talk a little bit, just a little bit, just a tiny smidgen's worth about, oh, just a smidgen's tiniest smidgen's of tiniest amount of, like, sex.
Come on. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough talk about sex. I started at the top of the show talking about pole dancing, which is a very, very interesting concept in life. Don't you think? Let's take a look at what it actually is. It's a pole that extends from the ceiling to the floor, and I think, again, it was started by firemen in a firehouse. They spend all day fighting fires. Well, not all day, but a lot of it. A very dangerous, hazardous job. And I guess what happened was in the firehouse, they have the living quarters upstairs, because downstairs are the trucks. I don't know if you've noticed that. It'd be stupid to have the fire trucks upstairs, because how would they reach the road? So they put the fire trucks on the ground level for some reason. And then on the second level is usually like an area where the fire people, the firefighters hang out. And they cook beans. I don't know why you always think that firefighters can only cook beans. What, they open up a can of beans, put it in a pot, heat it up, and then they eat it. That would be a very smelly fire. And if you were like, if an apartment house was on fire and you had just eaten a lot of beans back at the firehouse and you happened to fart by mistake, that could be explosively dangerous. So I think that's a myth about them only eating beans. But you're standing around with a group of guys. There are a few women sprinkled in. Not a lot of women firefighters, to be honest with you. But there are some. Yeah, it's one of those professions where it's mostly guys. And you're hanging out upstairs, and you've eaten all the beans you can find, and you're gassy as hell. And what do you do? What do you do? Well, if there's a fire, there's this big chrome pole in the middle of the room with a cutout in the floor that goes all the way down to the fire trucks. And apparently, if there's a fire and the alarm goes off, it takes a long time to wait for the elevator. Elevator's very slow and sluggish. You have to wait for it to come up, and then you get in it, and it's like takes forever to get to the next. And people could be dying in a house fire. So how about the stairs? I don't want to take the stairs. My back hurts. It's not good. I'm fighting fires all day. Why do I want to go up the stairs? So what's the fastest way to get to the ground floor from upstairs? Well, it's to jump through a hole in the wall, in the ceiling, in the floor. So, but if you jump through the floor to the first ground thing, you probably hurt your legs. So they put a pole there. Never understand why they didn't use the stairs. I can make it down the stairs really, really quick, especially down the stairs. It's a lot faster than going up the stairs. But yet somehow they use a pole for some reason. They think it's faster. I think it's because they enjoy pole dancing. I think if you go into any firehouse when they're not busy fighting fires, they are playing with their poles. I really believe that. I think they're practicing some of their moves. I think firefighters are kind of like, like pole dancer wannabes. I think that's what they do. And then you go to strip clubs and you see these women dancing around a pole. And like, I've never been to a strip club. Well, I went for a couple of bachelor parties. And, yeah, you know. Anyway, So these girls apparently dance around a pole. They just move around the pole, and I'm saying to myself, I don't quite understand why is there a pole there? And then I come to find out that pole dancing is a very, very difficult acrobatic art. I tried it once on a flagpole. It was late in the afternoon, and it was in junior high school, and the kids never stopped ribbing me about this. I tried little pole dancing myself just for that. It was a pole, and I had nothing to do, and that's what firefighters do. There's a pole. There's me. Let's see what we can do with the pole. And it's very, very difficult. It's slippery. That thing's slippery. It's very difficult to do. And pole dancers, they hang upside down. They slip down the pole. It looks like they're going to get a concussion on their skull upside down, like they're going to hit the floor, but they don't. At the last minute, they stop. And it's an incredible art. And I guess the statement that I'm making here on the program today is I respect pole dancers. Because it's difficult to do. Just like I respect contortionists. They can wrap their bodies up into a little ball and shove themselves in a box and be perfectly comfortable. And I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy, man, to contortion your body and put your whole body inside a little box. That's like the ultimate tiny house living. I mean, you don't need a large apartment if you're a contortionist. I guess that's my point. Contortionist, did I say that properly? If you're a contortionist, why do you need a large house? Why do you need a large apartment? You can do everything in a very small space, apparently. I would love to see that on the Home and Garden Television Network, a contortionist shopping around for a tiny home. I think that would be a fascinating episode. But of course, that's not what they have. It's not the way it goes. All right, let's speak to our guest. We're going to do so right after this short little commercial word. We're going to speak to our guest. He's a veteran, and thank you. But what he did with his life when he came back is like really, really impressive, man, lady. You'll see what I mean.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Matt Best joins us now. He's done a lot of stuff. He's done more stuff than I can imagine doing. He's an accomplished veteran. He spent 4 years, 2004-2008, in Special Operations with 2nd Ranger Battalion. Same 5th Ranger Regiment, deployed a total of 5 times, 4 to Iraq and 1 to Afghanistan, in many positions held, including the SALT team leader and master breacher. Wow. What drove you to do this?
I come from a long history of a military family. My 2 brothers served in Iraq in the Marine Corps as infantrymen, mm-hmm. and my father was a Vietnam veteran. So it kind of just runs in my family, and I really wanted to go push myself as a kid and accomplish something and serve my country.
Interesting. Now, you actually do podcasts, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I do. We have 2. We have a Black Card, which is more like a business one, and then we do a comedy show called Drinking Bros.
That's pretty cool. That's great. Now, there's a twist of humor involved in what you do, and parody and such, as I understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the social rhetoric of what a veteran's supposed to be is often like accompanied by a negative you know, approach to what we are coming back from war. So I just kind of wanted to change that. I wanted to bring the humor that we have and a lot of jokes we make overseas to deal with kind of the macabre situations we put in.
So when you were serving overseas, was it like ultra serious to the point where it drove you crazy, or was it something that you had to be so focused that that's what came into play?
I mean, I think when you're conducting an operation, it's very, very serious, but at the same time, you know, when you're off, it's we laugh a lot because there's no way you can deal with that kind of stuff without, you know, laughing and having fun.
So usually when you get into podcasting and expressing your opinion and doing that stuff, there's something that happened like early in your childhood that kind of made you want to do this in public and express yourself and such. I mean, there must have been some trigger going on.
I actually don't think necessarily that's the case. I mean, really? I slowly became more popular on YouTube just because I had a creative outlet and that was the forum that I was using. Mm. And as that started to pick up steam, there was kind of a more want for, you know, myself and my friends' input and their opinions on, you know, different issues and comedy stuff.
Okay. So let's talk about the veterans' issues. They can vary greatly. There can be great support. There can be great criticism. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I'm 100%, you know, an advocate for veterans. I think if anything, people can question the policies that, you know, the elected officials make concerning war and all that. But ultimately, you know, the men and women who raise their right hand and serve this country should be treated with the utmost reverence. And I think that this generation of warriors, you know, we're well over a decade of war. We need to make sure we're looking out for these guys who have lost life and limb and eyesight and all this other stuff, because those are issues they're dealing with every single day. It's not they got wounded and then they move on. You know, every day they wake up losing, like missing a limb. So it's I think it's our obligation to support them.
Oh, there's no question that it's our obligation, but I guess the question is, is a lot of it rhetoric, or do we actually do that much to support?
I would say socially, a lot of it is rhetoric, and that's my company, Black Rifle, is why we vowed to hire 10,000 veterans. It's for that exact example. Yeah. It's because veterans don't need a handout. They need an opportunity, and that's kind of where I've had the chance to kind of work myself back into society and become a working adult, and I want to give that opportunity to people that are getting out as well.
Well, you probably got that entrepreneurial quality, and that's probably how you got so far. I think you're being, you know, a little, you have a lot of humility, I think, you're going on. When someone like myself walks up to a veteran and says, thank you for your service, is that so overused that it's like enough of that already? I mean, it's such an immediate phrase that you say when you meet someone who has served.
You know, that's actually a really interesting question. I think that at the cellular level of that, it's a good thing because it shows appreciation and, you know, it could cheer up someone's day. But in the same stance, you know, I think people often fall on that too much to say, thank you for your service, and then they move on with their day. And I think it's time for a little more action to support rather than just a phrase.
Exactly. Yeah. I would find it at a point to be somewhat empty, but I, like you say, it's better than nothing.
Agreed.
Yeah. Now, you actually went on to get involved in motion pictures, movies.
Yes, sir. We did a film called Range 15, and that was kind of myself and my group of friends' way of creating a movie that was super subculture that kind of highlighted the style of humor that we have overseas. And we literally made it just for kind of the military and veteran space, and if civilians wanted to watch it and kind of get a grasp of the dark humor we have sometimes, that was the whole purpose of it. It was a fun time.
I understand it was very well received, though, and there were a lot of fairly famous people that actually took some cameo parts here.
Yeah, I got to work with William Shatner, Keith David, Ron Jeremy was in there, and quite a few other ones. So it was a really cool and fun experience.
Ron Jeremy.
I know, right?
Well, it's cameo. That's what you said. It works.
Yes.
It works. And apparently it was extremely well received.
Yeah, it did really well, I think, and we're pretty excited. Coming up here in a few months, we actually have a behind-the-scenes documentary. Uh-huh. So you see the amount of work that came in and the hundreds of veterans that donated their time just to be a part of the film, and it's really, really an amazing experience. I'm actually more excited about the documentary than the actual film.
Wow. Now, what do you have in the works? Usually, someone like you can't be tied down for too long without coming up with something.
You know, I have a lot of business endeavors, but right now I'm really focusing on our coffee company, Black Rifle Coffee, because we made a vow to hire 10,000 veterans. So we're working on some franchising options for people to be a part of the company and just really push that brand forward. We want to be the conservative option for people who drink coffee, quality coffee.
Wow. Very cool. You're like all over the place with this stuff. I'm telling you, you're going to own like half of the stock market or something at some point.
We're trying.
Yeah, sure. Tell us about the podcast. How can we hear it?
Yeah, if you want to check out Drinkin' Bros, it usually sits in the top charts of comedy. Mm-hmm. That's more of a comedic one. And if you want to check out Blackhearted, that's more of a business podcast. And all those are on Spotify, iTunes,
beautiful,
pretty much any social media that you want to look it up on. Mm-hmm. It'll be there.
Mm-hmm. How did you promote what you were doing? I mean, you're successful at what you do in many forms of media. How did you thrust it forward like that?
Well, early on when I was still deployed, I actually started making like little skits when I would come home because I contracted for about 6 years. I did about 20 trips for another organization. And, you know, my time off, I had a creative outlet. I was just making little funny videos and this started to pick up a lot of steam on YouTube and Facebook. And then I found myself getting millions of views one day. And so based off of that kind of social media presence, I use that as like a marketing vessel for these companies that I started. So the whole idea was, how do I give free entertainment to the customer, but at the same time, if they want to support me through my business endeavors, they have the ability to do that.
I see. So the podcast kind of accentuates the businesses and vice versa.
Yes, exactly.
Nice job. Okay, so like I'm going to ask you, and I don't know if this is in the works, but usually when someone does all these things, they usually write a book. Well, am I right?
That's very very in tune, sir. So I actually recently, about 4 months ago, signed with Penguin House. So we will be launching the book this fall. And we're really excited about it. You know, I think it's the first time that you've seen this. Did you watch Deadpool, the movie?
Yes, I did.
So it's almost in that light. It's gotcha. A military book with a lot of crazy stories. Good. But it's not look how cool I am. It's more just the kind of crazy stuff that I've experienced working for the CIA, being a ranger, and all these other things.
Wow. I knew nothing about the book, by the way. That was pure conjecture on my part. I was
impressed.
I think I can read you well. you know, your sense of humor is kind of amazing under the circumstances of what you went through. And you said that you used it so much as a tool in order to divert what was going on to keep yourself, I guess, sane. I don't know if that's the proper terminology, but it's just very, very impressive where your humor came from.
You know, and I try to highlight that a lot in the book, and I think the reason that I've been able to kind of push forward and attempt success so often at my life is I have the ability to sit back and kind of laugh. You know, I've broken bones before and just looked at it and laughed because, you know, there's nothing you can do. To live in the past is depression. You know, live in the future is anxiety. So I just kind of live in the present, and I'm at peace with that.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think there are two types of people in the world, and you can divide them right down the center, leaders and followers. And leaders are the people that go out and they do something because they feel that they should do it and other people follow them. It's good to have leaders that start businesses that say, hey, I'm not going to stand over here. I'm going to stand over there now and I'm going to do it. And that's impressive. It's kind of, and I hope the book somewhat goes along those lines, but it can be inspiration for people who are in situations who can really overcome anything with enough drive.
That's funny. That's actually absolutely one of the story arcs of my book is kind of how to use adversity and turn it into inspiration and change your life for the positive.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Okay, again, give me some information where people can follow you, not in a stalking kind of manner, obviously, but
if they're interested. Yeah, if you want to look me up on Facebook and Instagram and all that, it's just Matt Best. All of that will be my entertainment pages. And if you want to look up some of my business profiles and see what we're doing, you can look up Black Rifle Coffee and Lead Slingers Whiskey.
There you have it, man. Support. Thank you so much. This has been a fun interview, and I appreciate the time today.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Take care, Matt.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's a fascinating man. It's a fascinating man. When I talk to people like that, I feel inadequate. I don't like talking to people that are better than I am. It just makes me feel inadequate. I don't know how else to put it. It's just makes me want to contortion my body and crawl inside a small box out of embarrassment. I don't know. Thank you so much for spending the time with me today. Time is very valuable, and the fact that you gave up so much of it to listen to this program is very impressive on your part. May I ask you to do it again tomorrow? May I? I would love that. I really, really would. I would consider that to be really a gift to me if you could do that. I appreciate it. You can go to our Facebook page, The Ron Van Dam Show. No, that's not what it is. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's the Facebook page name. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. And I don't know what you're going to do when you get to that Facebook page, because I totally don't understand anything about this. Nothing about it whatsoever. Because I don't want to. I could learn. A child, I guess, could learn how to use Facebook. I'm not into it, man. Not into this community of people that I don't know. I have trouble enough with the friends that I do know. I don't need thousands of friends that I don't know. First of all, it defies the terminology, because they're not your friends if you don't know who they are. How many friends do you have there on Facebook, Ron? Oh, I don't know, like maybe a couple of thousand or something. Well, can you name them? Name them. I don't even know who they are. What are you talking about? I got a friend in Denmark that apparently picks his nose on Saturdays. I have no idea who this guy is. I've never heard of him. Why would I have a friend in Denmark? Well, is he your friend? Yeah, he's my friend. He's my good friend. He's got my back. I don't even know his name. It's Lars something. I don't know how he found me, but I know if I were in trouble, he would give me one of his lungs, perhaps a kidney. I really don't know, but that's the kind of Facebook friends I have. They have my back, and they also apparently have my kidney, so I don't know. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.